Imagine living in a world where there was no prayer or no love, no forgiveness of sins, or no good news from God. And people all around us taste that kind of experience every day, and really wears a heart down when you're living and don't feel like God is a part of your life or cares about you in any manner. And if you and I could see that world around us and realize that Christ is moving toward it, I think we'll be very effective in following Him. People who Jesus loved and is moving toward really live life as if Jesus had never been born. Really, the majority of people around us that you and I know in Westmoreland County today and in Allegheny County today, if this is a typical Sunday, up to about 75% of all adults will not worship or follow Christ. And that's a very, very high number. For the younger generation, the number is even higher. For teenagers in Westmoreland County or Allegheny County, up to 90% of teenagers will not worship Christ or follow Christ. And when you think about that, they really do live in days in which it feels like and it seems like to their own life and heart, it was like Christ has not even been born yet. And before we say, well, they should realize that we don't live in B.C. but in A.D. days. Perhaps it was because mom and dad never told them about the Lord. Perhaps it was because a Christian friend never invited them to church. Perhaps it was because the pastor never bothered to reach out beyond the group of his own church and be concerned about lost people. But there are a lot of people around us, the majority so, are living in B.C. days. And it's not easy. And it's not pleasant. And in spite of all the noise and glitz and glitter around us, it is not fun to live in B.C. days. And so to get a picture of that from Scripture and from God's heart and to see how you and I would respond because of that. The Bible speaks to us with razor-sharp truth about a person who is apart from Christ or doesn't know Christ. And this might feel a little bit like your heart this morning. And that's just God's way of saying, I know who you are and I love you and I'm here to come and be your Savior right this day that you might have a new life with Him. Well, this is what the Bible says about people in B.C. days before Christ's days. Ephesians 2 says folks are without hope and without God. One of the worst feelings in the world you could have is being without hope. You see no light at the end of the tunnel. It's just one experience after the next. And hopefully you jam good experiences in there. Because after all, isn't life all about just having fun? But God would say, but that's without hope and without God. Colossians chapter 2 says folks are taken captive. Taken captive. 2 Corinthians 4, blinded by the god of this age. We have folks who have gone through eye injuries or perhaps suffer macular degeneration to not be able to see. A terrible plight, blinded by the god of this age. Jesus said, those without God are like prisoners. I had a chance to visit a prison when I was 12 years old to play a Little League baseball game at Western Penitentiary. We were the Dodgers against the Giants, and the Dodgers won. And I thought, it was intimidating, but I was glad because I thought we were providing some fun time for the prisoners. But it was fun also because I got to go home. Nobody else got to go home who was in prison. Taken prison, Jesus said, is like being without God. And in Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, being without Christ or living in B.C. days was like being poor, crippled, lame, and blind. Just a sad situation. In English literature, when hell was tried to be described in English literature, it was described with this sign over the gate of hell. Abandon all hope, all who enter here. Abandon all hope. And that's what a person feels like who's apart from God. And, you know, we're to take note of that. And God takes note of it. What is Jesus' response to that? Well, He moves toward people in that boat, in that situation. We see it in the gospel story today. The disciples are in the boat with Jesus. And for all intents and purposes, at that point in their knowing Christ, they didn't know who He was. They didn't know for sure that he was the Son of God or the Messiah. That would happen a couple years later that Peter would finally say, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." But they know Jesus a little bit. They know of him. They're in a boat. A storm comes and they're overwhelmed by the storm. Take center stage of everything they're experiencing. And God's word says the boat they were in was nearly swamped. Nearly swamped. What does it feel like to be nearly swamped with problems and troubles? It's not a pleasant feeling. You feel very helpless, like things are out of your control. I hear Christians say all the time, "I've gone through troubles and trials, and I don't know how I would have made it without the Lord, without God." What does a person say who has those same troubles and heartaches? "I'm swamped by troubles, and I don't know how I would have made it without..." Not unknown to be able to say, without Christ, or without the help of a Christian friend. And it's a tough thing. I just talked to a gal from Erie County the other day who's was so sick at home, and her husband said, "Should I call the ambulance, or are you going to be able to walk to the car so I can get you to the hospital?" And she said, "I feel really terrible, really sick. I don't know if I can make it. You better call for help." So he goes into the other room, spends a couple minutes there, runs back in a frantic panic. He says, "I forgot the number. I forgot the number." When you're swamped and overwhelmed with problems, even to call, "Oh, remember, not 911. A person who hasn't been touched by God's love, that's what life feels like. And it's not a pleasant feeling at all. And what else did the people experience in the boat with Jesus? They turn to Jesus and they say, "Lord, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care?" Does anybody care when a person is going through tough times? The person who lives in BC days, seeming like Christ hasn't been born yet, asks that question a lot. "Lord, don't you care?" Or does anybody care? I hear some folks who have yet to receive Christ will often express that. "I don't know if God cares about me. He's probably, you know, feeding millions of hungry children in Africa. Why should he care about me? And I don't know if the church cares about me. They're very busy with all their activities and good things. And, you know, they're busy loving one another. They don't care about me. Who am I?" And to not, what does it feel like to not feel like anybody cares? Some of you may have gone through that. Not a pleasant feeling. That's the feeling the disciples ask. It's hard to receive love in days that feel like BC days. And besides that, what the folks felt like in the boat, not just overwhelmed or saying, "Does anybody care?" They were afraid of God himself, afraid of God and afraid of Christ. Christ helps them through the storm, and their response is, they were terrified. They said, "Who is this? We do not understand almost anything about this man named Jesus. He stopped the storm." And many, many people who live in a world that's a BC world are afraid of God. Afraid of church life. Some will joke, "If I come to the church, it's going to fall down, you know, the building." And I remember as a young person, a little child, being afraid of God, thinking God was out to get me. And there was nowhere to hide. One time during I think it was a Lenten season, I was over at my grandmother's house. And once a year in the church they went to, the clergy person would come and bless the house in some manner. That was just part of something they did. And I never saw a grown-up so uptight in my life. They all gathered in the kitchen, waiting for the clergyman to come. He came, dressed all in black. And he had a big, loud voice. And they all sat at the kitchen table with a candle in the middle of the table. There was never a candle there before. And they were frozen. And I was taking all that in. And the clergyman comes in and says some things and does some things. And I ran to the other room. And he came to the living room. And I ran back into the kitchen. And I literally thought, I am in trouble. And there's no way to escape. Whoever God is and whoever this clergyman is, I hope you don't feel that if I give you a call on the phone, you know. Hide, we're in big trouble. But people fear the Lord. and in an unhealthy way to avoid him. And I think we can sympathize with that. Even the hymn of invitation that is sung at Billy Graham Crusades, "Just as I am without one plea," there's a line in there that says, "Fightings without and fears within, O Lamb of God, I come." And you might be afraid of God today. I don't want God to get a hold of my life. He might bring some changes. Yeah, he will. And it'll be for your benefit. It might look painful and difficult, but he brings his grace and mercy and strength and help. To be afraid of God and avoid him, I think that's one of the biggest reasons, for example, we are hesitant to follow Christ, or we don't open the Bible. If I hear from God, I'm going to have to follow him. Yes. Open the Bible and live and meet Christ. And people who live in BC days, we are to stand in their shoes because that's where we once stood. And we are to try to avoid thinking the problem is only theirs, because we share in that brokenness. If you and I were to imagine ourselves attempting to be a missionary to a rough country, let's say Cambodia or a place like that, we went to Cambodia. We observed everything that was happening around us and said, well, God doesn't seem like he made much of an impact here in Cambodia yet. And we were told, you know, in Cambodia, most people overwhelmingly so don't know Christ or go to church or follow him in any way. And we spent several weeks and months there. And at the end of that time, we walked around and said, I can't believe I'm disgusted with Cambodia. I can't believe what a crummy culture it is, you know. They're probably going to get me all dirty being over here in Cambodia. The other missionaries who would be there would probably say, are you sure you want to follow Christ here? Because I don't think you realize what you're supposed to be doing. Go to share the light where there is no light. Go to share the forgiveness where there forgiveness is not known. And how does Christ move to people in BC days, living as if he has not come? He seeks them out. He seeks them out. He's on a mission. In the military, there are heat-seeking missiles. And Jesus, his Holy Spirit, is a lost person seeking spirit. If you're here today and you feel lost and without God, he's moving closer to you today to warm you up to Christ. Christ reaches out to people who are away from him. Heard an example of this just a little while back in the world of government, when President Clinton was the president and Mrs. Clinton, first lady, their family's going through all kind of troubles and difficulties. And around that time, Mrs. Clinton was invited to a prayer breakfast put on by some Christians in Washington, D.C. And she thought of every possible reason not to go to that prayer breakfast, because she thought, if I go to that prayer breakfast, these Christians are going to just make my life miserable. And so she went reluctantly. And she goes to the prayer breakfast and says she can't believe what a pleasant time she had. The people were gracious and hospitable. They tried to befriend her in every way possible, and then speak with her, make sure she had enough, you know, coffee and tea and all that. And she came away, she said, it was totally unexpected. Totally unexpected. And I, hearing that story, I thought, why did she expect something different? You know, what message other than Christ coming to people who are hurting and in need are we getting out there? You know, where are we missing the passing on of the good news? And, of course, Christ, as we follow him this week, we team up with a wonderful Savior who's able to help people. You think he went to touch the leper who nobody else would touch? He would change their life. He went to reach the one caught in adultery to bring a forgiveness of sins and a changed life. Well, that's a whole mission field right there for us. He went to, this time of the year, last couple of weeks, he even, some of his best recruits were corrupt politicians. As he had Matthew and Zacchaeus, who were corrupt politicians, turn to him and have her life changed. One was a Democrat, one was a Republican. Matthew and Zacchaeus. Turn to God. He reached out to those in military service, to a Roman soldier. They were the bad guys. He said he would care about the one Roman soldier whose daughter was sick. And you and I, when we see that, we can say, Lord, give me a heart that beats with your heart for those in the B.C. days. Living before Christ. No hope. Help us to stand in their shoes. You know, the word empathy means to stand in somebody's shoes and to withhold judgment. When you're talking to somebody and you're hearing about their problem, if you're not empathetic, you say, you shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't think that way. You shouldn't be that way. But to be on a mission, to empathize with them, I stand in their shoes and I say, I see things like you see them. I would feel the same way. I see the world from your point of view. And now maybe I can bring hope. I've heard you out. Because the mission that Christ is on, he turns us in to those who would bring hope to the hopeless. So that I think it's coming to a point, truly, in a real good way, and I see it happening in some of your lives, where when people feel swamped by problems or without God or condemned or hopeless or just struggling with the whole gift of the forgiveness of sins, they say, at least we can go to the Christians. Because of anybody, the Christians won't condemn us. The Christians will give us some good news. The Christians will give us some hope. Because Christ is like that for them. And that's how most often a person turns to the Lord. So God calls us to work alongside him with such a great mission. One of the great verses I like in John chapter 3, right after the Gospel of John 3:16. He so loved you, he sent Christ. The following verse says, God didn't send Christ into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Christ. The Message Bible puts it this way. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending Christ to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it is. He came to help and to put the world right with himself. What a humbling adventure you and I are on, called to go alongside Christ, to seek and to save what was lost. And I know God probably puts on your heart, even this morning, people that say, you would say, I know they're swamped. And they're asking, who cares? You know, the Holy Spirit at that point, the Holy Spirit's given them your name and maybe given them your picture and saying, someone will care and go and pray and help. Be who you are in the Lord, and the Lord will bless and bring those in the B.C. days to those who say, it's the year of our Lord. We're glad to know him. Let's pray and ask God to help us be this way. Thank you, Lord, that you were on a mission for reconciliation, bringing enemies back to friendship with yourself. And I believe, Lord, many of us in the room have said, yes, I'll take friendship with God through Christ. He's Lord and Savior, and we'll trust and follow him. And yet maybe some here, Father, or many around us, 75% of all the adults we'll meet, 90% of teenagers, without hope, swamped, saying, does even God care? Oh, Father, help us to pass on some good news of Christ by standing with people, by going to people, by not just taking care of ourselves or keeping the good news for the church building, but for all we meet this week. Just shine through us with your good Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you'll accomplish and where you'll send us and who we get to love this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.